Edutainment Learning is powered by Academica Virtual Education and Collegia TV. For more information, visit www.edutainmentlearning.com.
Name is Jim Morris. You may have seen the Disney movie, The Rookie, in which I looked very pretty because Dennis Quaid played me. And I took a roundabout way to get to Major League Baseball. But I will tell you guys this, no matter what your talent or what you feel in your heart, you've got to follow that. For me, it was sports. My father was physically and verbally abusive. So I was attracted to sports because it got me out of the house and away from him and allowed me to be the kid I was supposed to be in between those white lines. And so I gravitated towards sport. Some of you, it may be art, some music, whatever that is, whatever your passion is, chase it, man, and don't give up. For me, drafted out of high school. We didn't even have a high school baseball team. The Yankees drafted me, but my grandfather had ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease, and I wanted to stay close to home. I went to junior college. 4 months later, I got drafted by the Brewers in their supplemental draft in January. I signed. Over the next 5.5 years, I had 6 surgeries, and by 24, I was out of baseball, gone back to college, and became a teacher and a coach. And I tell people, the dream you start chasing may not be the one you end up loving the most. I will tell you guys this. For me, being a teacher was the most gratifying time of my life because I just loved every day. I would learn something from my kids. I know I was there to teach, but I would learn something from my kids every day. And then it was those kids that talked me back into going out for my dream again, even after the doctor said, impossible, can't be done. You have no muscle left in your arm. They cut 85% of my deltoid muscle out. You'll never, ever pitch again. Come back throwing 12 miles an hour harder with control, with pitches I didn't even have the first time when I was young. And when I pushed those kids to make them better, they pushed me and they made me better. And so I realized my dream at the age of 35 of pitching on a Major League Baseball field facing some of the best hitters in the game. And I have those kids to thank for that.
Absolutely. And we already have some student questions. Do you mind if I let some of the kids ask you some questions? Okay, this is from our friend Mev. She is in Italy, and she would like to ask you a question. Go ahead, Mev.
Sure. Hi, Jim. Really nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
You are proof that everything you dream of can be achieved. You know, as Babe Ruth said, never let the fear of skating out keep you from playing the game. So regardless of age, you have been able to do what you wanted. And let me say that you have done it. But I would like to know how important perseverance is to you and how have you managed to keep it all these years? Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. I'll try to answer it the best I can. I will tell you this, and I know more questions are going to be asked about this. Having perseverance and sticking to it, I played sports so I could feel good about me. I could be the kid I was supposed to be if for only a few hours at a time. And baseball ended up being my first love, then football, then basketball. I'm about 4 inches too short to play basketball, but now I'm too old. But for me, being able to persevere means I'm overcoming something. Like if I'm against you in a game, I'm not battling you. I'm battling me to make me better because I can't be the best Mev or the best Mr. Krause or any of that. All I can do is be the best Jim Morris I can be. And so striving to be the best I could has never even been a second thought for me. I've had a guidance counselor in high school tell me I would never be successful in college. Therefore, I should make it in baseball because I was too dumb to go to college. I have had coaches tell me I wasn't good enough. My father told me every day I was never good enough. And so it instilled a fire in me that made me want to outdo myself. And so I wasn't pitching against Major League Baseball hitters at that time. I was trying to improve Jim Morris, a left-handed pitcher who came back at 35. And to go a little bit further with that, it helped me with that dream. It helped those kids because they saw me go out and do something that I had promised to do myself. And so when they pushed me and they lived up to their end of the bargain and they won, I had to go try out. I thought it would be embarrassing and humiliating. It didn't turn out that way. And now we have a movie made and I think it's cool. And those kids are 100% to thank for that. years later, I had no idea what perseverance meant to me until eventually I was diagnosed with Parkinson's, 70 surgeries in 20 years. And you're just going to get sicker. That's just how it is. People with Parkinson's don't get well. You're not going to get well. I'm so sorry, but you're just going to get worse. I don't have Parkinson's anymore. And some people that makes angry because they're like, how could you say that to somebody who's lost hope? Hey, I was one of those people. And that has been the biggest thing that ever got me down was the Parkinson's diagnosis, all the surgeries, losing your balance, having to get rid of a dog that I absolutely love because he kept tripping me. And so I had to get rid of him. And then a few years later, I end up not having it. And so also perseverance pays off in whatever it is your dream is or whatever hardship you may face. Like, let's go with something very difficult to imagine, but let's imagine that we're in a pandemic and we can't do anything we want to do. Well, what do? Do you lose hope? Or you prepare for what you're going to do when everything lightens up and you can actually go out and physically chase your dreams, whatever they may be. We're facing it right now. Everybody's been locked away, the whole world, not a country, not a couple of countries, the world. And now it's starting to open up. And I just want to wish you and everybody else the best in going forward and chasing your dreams. I hope that answers your question. If not, you can ask me again.
No, that certainly does. So I have a student in France, or they might actually be from Spain, but they want to know September 18th, 1999. Obviously that date has significance for you. What was that like as a Texan being able to walk out on that mound against the Texas Rangers?
Oh, Ralph. A year before, we were on summer break. I wasn't teaching, and my friends and I had a softball team, and we were going to a state tournament. We stopped off at the ballpark in Arlington to take in a game, and I sat right behind third base looking out at the game going, man, if only that could have happened for me. And a year later, because of a group of teenagers who everybody counted out, I got to achieve my dream in my home state, in my favorite ballpark, with everybody I know and love. Johnny Oates, the opposing manager, God rest his soul, let 150 people in the game that day that had ties to me, students, kids I coached against, coaches had gotten school buses driven 9 and 10 hours to bring their kids to the ball field to watch the coach who made a promise. My family, I hadn't seen my kids who were 8, 4, and 1 at that point. I hadn't seen them in 3 months. I'd never been away from them longer than a weekend baseball tournament. And now I'm getting to see everybody on the same day. People I went to college with, people who said they went to high school with me showed up. I have no idea who they were. But just everybody together in Texas. And I'm getting to live out my dream. And that was just, it is still surreal. I am 57 now, and I still have to go, wow, did that actually happen? Because it seems so beyond everything that anybody had predicted. You'll never pitch again. You have no muscle left. You're too old. At that point, you're too fat. And you know, they get you back in shape. I thought I was done with, I thought I made kids run, and then they made me run. I thought, this is not fair. But yeah, the greatest day to me as far as seeing what people can overcome, and being as it was very personal to me, it means even that much more to me. Everybody was just amazing that day.
That's absolutely wonderful. And I think we might have some questions down in Florida. Mr. Marichko, I'm going to let you guys unmute. I see you have some students up there. Do you guys have any questions?
Yes, we do, Ralph and Jim. Thank you very much. We got Danny here, who's actually a lefty pitcher himself on our baseball team here in Boca. So, Dan, go ahead.
Who is your idol to make you like keep trying to succeed your dream?
Okay, who was my idol? And I didn't get the last part of that.
To like keep you to try to succeed your dream.
Who was like an inspiration for you to keep going?
Honestly, it was my high school kids. My grandfather had taught me as a teenager, if you ever make a promise, keep it. Because at the end of the day, when you pass away, you're going to be remembered for one thing. Were you a truth teller? Were you honest? And because I'd promised those kids that if they did something, I would try to do something. In my mind, I'm thinking it's hilarious. I want them to win, and I'm willing to go out and embarrass myself. And that's not how it turned out. So my grandfather and those high school kids from Reagan County in Big Lake, Texas.
That is, and again, if you guys haven't seen the movie, definitely check out the Disney movie, The Rookie, with Dennis Quaid, who plays Jim in the movie, and definitely check out his book, Dreammakers. I put the link in the chat. I know that we have another question down in Boca. Mr. Marichko, you can go ahead and take it away.
All right, Ralph, we got one more question from Roman wants to ask Jim.
What happened to your mustache?
You did not, man. You got detention. Well, first it turned white, and then it got thin. And so now I just kind of got a little goatee. You can't see it because I'm on film, and I know I look way pretty, so you guys. The Fu Manchu had to go away when I got home and retired from baseball. But I love that thing. This is a true story. We got rained out in New York playing the Yankees one night. And so you get bored. You're on the road half the year. I got bored. I shaved off my mustache and I made the paper in New York City for shaving my mustache.
That is some newsworthy stuff.
I know, right?
So we have another question down in Boca from Tyler. Go ahead, Mr. Marichko.
All right, Tyler, you got it.
I was asked, who's your favorite baseball player ever?
Favorite baseball player ever? Hank Aaron. Lou Gehrig is close to the top because my grandfather had the same disease that Lou passed away from, and it was devastating to watch that. But you know, there are so many good things. Hank Aaron is my favorite, absolutely, because as a Caucasian male, I have no idea what it was like for him every day to go out and play the game at the level that he played it, knowing there were death threats and everything coming in every day while he was trying to break the home run record. And he wasn't even trying to break the home run record. He was just playing a game he loved. But to go out there with a smile on your face and play the game as hard as he did every single day, he's my hero because he had his dream in front of him and he chased it and he left nothing on the field. And so he is my all-time favorite.
We definitely lost a legend in Hank Aaron this past year. So God rest his soul.
One of the nicest guys. I got a story to tell you real quick, Ralph.
Sure.
Okay?
Yeah, you go.
Hank Aaron has been my favorite ball player forever. And I got to see him when I was 10. My all-star team in Connecticut went to Boston and watched the Red Sox play the Milwaukee Braves when Hank played for them. He signed a baseball for me. Okay, this is a two-part story. In Connecticut, it snows a lot. We ran out of baseballs, and I sandlotted the ball. In 30 seconds, the snow ruined my Hank Aaron baseball. 30 years later, I am ringing the closing bell with Hank Aaron at the stock exchange. And I tell him the story, and to watch his laugh and his whole body just shook. And just to be able to relay that story to him and tell him what he meant to me was just, he was such a humble and kind soul. And we just had a really good moment. At the end of it, I go, and since, you know, I'm older and I would know better now, but I didn't then, could you sign another baseball for me? He goes, if you hadn't ruined the first one, you'd still have one. And then he hugged me. It was awesome. He was a fantastic man.
That's so wonderful. So we'll go with one more student question and then we'll let you go. But one of the students emailed and they want to know, how important was your faith in your journey?
absolutely the strongest thing going in my life. My wife and my faith is incredible. I know everybody's got a different faith. They have faith in different things. My grandparents instilled faith in me. My grandmother was our church secretary for 30 years. And so I was in church all the time, and I got to meet a lot of wonderful people. But my grandparents, a lot of people talk about religion is so tightly woven into faith nowadays that it runs people, especially young people, out of the church. My grandparents were the opposite of that. They showed humility and kindness and grace to people before those became catchphrases for faith. They were the two best people I've ever known in my life. And from 15 to 18, I lived away from my parents with my grandparents. And it is the three best years of my life. When I could have fallen off the rails at 15 because of everything I'd been through with my father, my grandparents, I think, decided not on our watch. I had two rules when I walked into my grandparents' house. If you do it, own it. Own it, live up to it, and move on. And number two, if you always tell the truth, you don't have to remember what you said because the truth is the truth. It does not change. Those are my rules. And he had me do things like take my grandmother out to eat during lunch the entire time I was in high school once a week so I would know how to treat women, how to take their arm across the street, how to keep them inside away from traffic on sidewalks next to a road, open car doors, restaurant doors, pull out chairs, fold out napkins. They wanted me to be a good man and a good human being. And anything positively that can be said about me, the thanks goes to my grandparents.
That's absolutely wonderful. And so before we let you go, Jim, is there any advice that you could give to these kids as they go off into the world, kind of figuring out what they want to do and what they want to be?
Yes, sir. If I would have listened to all the people who told me it cannot be done, I look back at that now and go, that may have been the fire that pushed me into my dream. And what I mean by that is I already told you that I push myself against myself. But because of everything that went on and what you guys are facing, I have no idea. When we were in school, when I was in high school, back when we used to walk 5 miles uphill in the snow every day, both ways, things were different. We didn't have social media. We didn't have things where not only you get bullied in high school, you get bullied on social media. My deal is to be your own person. If you can be your own person, you're going to set yourself up for success. Don't quit. Don't give in. Don't look back. Don't look around. If you have it in your heart and in your mind to go chase a dream, chase it. Because you will not know the answer until you know the answer. People have given up on a lot of dreams when they were so close to being there, to achieving it. But they gave up and they watched somebody else run away with their dream who had worked hard the entire time. If you want something bad enough, you've got to put in the time and you have to work for it. If you can improve yourself and one simple task every single day, make yourself better, then you're doing the right thing. You don't want to wake up one day when you're my age and go, what if I would have tried one more time? What if I hadn't given up? You'll know the answer. If you make it, fine. And this is one of the things I share with audiences all over the world. The dream you start chasing may not be the one you end up loving the most. In my life, I was never going to teach high school because I barely got through high school. And then I went to college and I found out I was not dumb like my father said. And then if I would have listened to the doctors, I never would have tried to play baseball again. Instead, I listened to teenagers and I ended up being a major leaguer. I would not have been able to overcome Parkinson's with all the prayer groups and the people who surrounded my wife and I and my kids and put their arms around us and hugged us and prayed for us all the time. When you give up, you don't know what you're losing, and you might not ever know, but you don't want to watch somebody else get your dream because they kept working when it got tough and you quit. We will never quit. Teachers, students, family, we will not quit. If we have something in our heart and on our minds, we're going to pursue it to the fullest and chase that dream down. You guys can do this, man. You guys are our future in this world now. And we haven't left it in very good shape for you guys, but I want y'all to go out with all your heart and all your soul and go out there and improve the world. And you do that one step at a time, first by improving yourself and then being a positive reinforcement for people who are around you. Because it's not what we say that means a lot to people. It's our actions or how we act or react to situations. And if we can carry ourselves like other people are listening, because they are, you will have no regrets. Work hard, love the life you have, and try to improve yourself in one thing every single day. I was never supposed to go to college. I did, straight A's, honors fraternity, honors graduate, school was fun. When I quit listening to the people who told me it can't be done and started surrounding myself with the people who told me it can be done, that's success. I became a teacher. I work with kids. I love working with kids. Little did I know this introverted person, this lefty guy, was going to end up speaking to audiences all over the world. The last thing I ever had on, teaching in a classroom with 30 kids was a lot for me. And then to go out and throw in front of 50,000, and then on national TV too, all because of a group of kids who showed me my dream was still alive when I thought it was dead and gone. So surround yourself with the best people so you know you're getting the best advice when you need it. The dream killers, the people, we're not going to listen to those. My guidance counselor, no. My father, no. Listen to people who are going to help you get to be where it is you want to be. You can achieve anything. What are you willing to sacrifice in order to do it? Are you willing to put in the work? Are you willing to get dirty? Are you willing to get up and attack it the next day? Every time you fail, you're one step closer to being where it is you want to be. Because you're eliminating everything else. So never, ever quit.